And now, the Old Testament reading from Exodus. Then God spoke all these words: I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses the name. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. Honor your father and your mother, so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. And you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or male or female slave, or ox, or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. When all the people witnessed the thunder and lightning, the sound of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking, they were afraid, and they trembled, and they stood at a distance, and they said to Moses, "You speak to us, and we will listen, but do not let God speak to us, or we will die." Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid, for God has come only to test you and to put the fear of him upon you so that you do not sin." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. There is an old Talmudic tradition that says the angels were up in arms when God entrusted the Torah to humans rather than to them. But characteristically, God was nonplussed with their protest, asking the angels simply, "Were you then slaves in Egypt?" The point of the story is clear. There's no group to better safeguard the law of the land than those who've survived in a land of lawlessness. And this is why, year after year, in the Passover liturgy, the Jewish people recite the words Avadim Hayinu, which means we were slaves in Egypt. They were slaves in Egypt, but have now been set free. How will we use our freedom, they ask in the liturgy. Then the people answer, "We have a responsibility to fight for justice." It is those who remember that they were once slaves in an unjust Egypt who also remember that they have a responsibility to fight the good fight for a more just promised land. So Israel was given the law, knowing that in guarding the law, they also guarded the nation. Or, as someone more memorably put it, it is not only that the Jews keep the law, but it is also that the law keeps the Jews. It's the rule of law that keeps a community together. It is the assurance of guaranteed rights and due process and the constraint of individual and institutional behavior and misbehavior, which come together to guarantee that all members of the society, including those in government, are equally subject to and also protected by the rules and regulations which bind and bound us. No one should be above the law. And that is why John Adams said of America, "We are a nation of laws and not of men." Which brings me to the text today. In Egypt, Pharaoh was not only above the law, he was the law. He was judge and jury and just about everything else also, including in his own mind and the minds of the multitudes, God. And that was not only true for the Egyptians, but it was also true for the Israelites. The one who sat at the top of the pyramid was God of all Egypt. And that is why Moses hesitated so much when another God appeared to him from within the flames of the burning bush. And it is why the first thing that the Israelites were told at Mount Sinai were these words: "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no gods before me." This was the first commandment, a word of assurance as much as edict, a guarantee of gospel as much as the letter of the law. In Egypt, Pharaoh was God above everyone. In Israel, the Lord would be God above all. That was the first commandment, and I could probably preach on it alone. But I also have some things to say about the other 9 commandments. So I'm left with something of a quandary this morning. Most people in the pews don't like 10-point sermons, which is fine, except I know you're not stuck in the pews this morning, and you can simply shut me off with one click of a button. Knowing that, I'm still going to try to say something about these other 9 commandments, because I think they're important for these times in which we are living. But I promise I'm going to try to make it brief and also, I hope, interesting. The second commandment: "You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above or that is on the earth beneath." How quickly we are given to make a god of anything, and how prone we are to sacralize even the most unsacred. So wouldn't then the conversation around these Confederate monuments be different if we were to truly heed the words of the second commandment, "No idols"? Third commandment: "You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God." I was listening from the kitchen one day to my 2 sons who were in the living room. One was doing something the other disapproved of. "You better quit," the latter said. "Why?" the other asked. "Because Mom and Dad and God said." It starts early. We use God's name to justify all kinds of things we want done and undone. And we misuse God's name also. Slavery, segregation, and unjust war have all been done in God's name. We use God's name to damn whoever doesn't think or act or look or love like us. We use God's name and God's Bible for all kinds of ungodliness. But let us be very careful. For the commandment ends with these words of warning to all of the brothers and sisters and kindred. The Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. The fourth commandment: remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. In Egypt, there was no rest. The Israelites were slaves, and their value was solely in the production of their work. And Pharaoh worked them to death. In the Promised Land, however, there was to be a day of rest for all. And that meant everyone ought to make enough the other 6 days of the week in order to enjoy a day of rest on the Sabbath. This is the genesis of a fair and livable wage, and it is a hedge against a society returning again to a kind of slavery under some other kind of name. The fifth commandment: honor your father and your mother so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. In Egypt, the aged were all simply left behind. They were expendable. But in Israel, they were to be honored and cared for, even unto death. So too here in America. This is why we have Social Security and Medicare in this country. And it's why we just can't write off the senior citizens during the midst of this coronavirus epidemic. These people have dignity, and their well-being can't be sacrificed for the sake of the economy. We have to honor our fathers and our mothers and our aunts and our uncles and all other senior citizens in our society. Their lives matter. Number 6, thou shalt not murder. Number 7, thou shalt not commit adultery. Number 8, thou shalt not steal. Any questions? Number 9, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. ceded some time with those last three, so let me camp out here on this one for a moment. How have we allowed ourselves to become so cavalier with this commandment? It's been broken 10 million times a day on Facebook with a bunch of Russian and or Q concocted stories about our politicians and their families and pedophilia rings out of pizza parlors in our nation's capital. Give me a break. Yet, nonetheless, people share it. We share it. And so too do some of the highest public officials in our land. We share lies. We love lies. And it is a commandment because the loving of lies and the bearing of false witness will be our undoing. And if I seem a little zealous over this one, it's because I am. And if you care anything about the future of this country, you should be too. It was a lie that undid Eden. And it'll be lies that undo America also. Finally, number 10, you shall not covet your neighbor's house or wife or anything else that belongs to your neighbor. This is the most inward of the commandments. No one has windows into men's or women's souls, so no one can ever be convicted in a court of law for covetousness. But the 10th commandment is given to us to remind us to stay convicted within ourselves and to guard our hearts and our minds and protect ourselves from the evil eye that is within us. For the prayer my grandfather taught his second grade Sunday school class to pray, "God fix my wanter," may sound simple, but its power is profound. And the keeping of the 10th commandment is a hedge which keeps us from trespassing against all of the other 9 commandments. The law was given to Israel so that they might be a nation of laws, not of men. Israel was not given to be subject to the caprice, whims, and constitutions of its rulers. It was given to be governed by the rule of law and by ethic. And so too are all nations, including our own. And that is why, in the frieze atop the United States Supreme Court building, sits a sculpture with all of the great lawgivers of history depicted, including at the center, Moses, with 2 stone tablets of God's law in his hands. Moses is long past now, but the law remains. And so too shall a nation of laws whose people guard and keep them. We were slaves in a kind of Egypt, but have now been set free. How will we use our freedom? We too have the responsibility to fight for justice. We too must keep the law, that the law might also keep us. In closing, let me acknowledge that the law was never meant to be an end in itself. This is what St. Paul meant when he said, "The letter killeth, but the Spirit gives life." And it's what Jesus meant when he said, "The law was given for humanity, not humanity for the law." The law is not an end in itself. It is a means. For the final end is love. And that is why, when asked which was the greatest of all of the commandments, Jesus answered, "With none of the 10 I have talked about today, but instead with these words: to love God with all of our hearts and all of our minds and all of our souls and all of our strength. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it: to love your neighbor as yourself." So then, let us love the Lord supremely, and also our neighbors as ourselves. For love is the fulfillment of the law, and the rule of the laws of love should never, ever end. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God and Mother of us all, and all of God's people then said, Amen.